I'm Tracy. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm nervous about speaking. I always feel like I have a lot to say. And then when it's time to speak and I see all the faces, I get very nervous. And so hopefully I will say something that speaks to you. Overeaters Anonymous saved my life. And that's why I'm really glad to be here today. And I think that without the program, I have no idea where I would be. I have no idea. My life was really not going in a good way. I've been in program just over 19 years. I have recovered from morbid obesity. I'm maintaining a 120-pound weight loss. And I think even more than that, I have recovered from despair. Not that I don't have some bad days, and I mean, life just keeps coming, but prior to program and particularly prior to working the steps through the big book, despair ruled my life, and it was a pretty dark place. I have been a compulsive eater all my life. I don't remember a time when I was not susceptible to this disease. Some of my earliest memories are of eating, sneaking food, hiding food, and sending myself into oblivion through food, usually through food and television or food and a book, but it would take me away from where my life was. So when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I came into what I always sort of called regular OA. We used the OA 12 and 12. There was the OA workbook. We had the daily reader. And that was really the substance of how I worked the steps, how I was introduced to the steps. And I knew OA was the place for me. I knew I was a compulsive eater at the very first meeting when they said, you know, it's not a choice, you know, it's a disease. I thought, yes, that finally makes sense. But I really struggled to find recovery for those first 9.5 years. I continued to eat for the first three, like really eat. And actually my disease progressed significantly my first 3 years in program. I would say a binger and a grazer, you know, like I could eat all day long and then I would binge at night, and the binges just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, after 3 years in program, you know, I saw other people had put down, you know, refined sugar. And I did that to the best of my ability and the best of my understanding. And my binging stopped. But I still kept sugar in my diet. I still kept things in my regular plan of eating, because nobody ever took me through the doctor's opinion. I had never heard of the allergy of the body, never heard of it. Well, we would read from the big book, but we would read a whole chapter at a meeting and never go into things in detail. I was still overeating, like the really bad binging had stopped, but the overeating was continuing. And on a fundamental level, I was not changed. I was behaving differently, but I was not changed. I can remember, you know, with the 10th step, I would work the 10th step, you know, when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. But that is not the same as working an inventory out of the big book. And so I continued with deep, 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 deep unhappiness. And in many ways, the physical recovery that I did have was of the result of really white knuckling things. And I was in my early 40s. So I'm 53 now. It is in my early 40s. And I was so unhappy. I was so unhappy. You know, I was maintaining at that point an 85-pound weight loss, and I was so unhappy. I just can't even tell you how unhappy I was, how dismal life was, how full of despair I was. And I had the thought, you know, if this is it, well then, you know, screw it. I don't care. I'm going to go back to the food because at least that's something. And there is, I guess, no situation so bad that eating over it can't make it worse. And I just, you know, spiraled down back to where I had been when I first came into program. And I knew that there had to be an answer out there somewhere, because I had seen people legitimately recover in OA. I just didn't know very many of them. You know, you would see these speakers come and go, but in my local meetings, we just didn't have very much. So I went out, thought I'm going to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I went out looking for a new sponsor and a new way of working the steps. And I had thought, I've never really worked the big book. I've heard, you know, a lot of the old timers really like it. So off I went and doing my 90 meetings in 90 days. And a woman said, well, if you're looking for big book, there's a new meeting that's just started up. It's a vision for you. This was about 2013. So you should try it. And she gave me the number. And I started listening to that meeting. And I listened probably for about 9 months before I heard a lady share that before she worked the steps out of the big book, she was an empty vessel. And I thought, wow, empty vessel, that is me. And I continued listening, and I called her once, and then I called her again. And the third time I called her, I asked her to be my sponsor. And she had a completely different approach. She was like my third sponsor, completely different approach than I'd ever experienced before. Things were almost night and day, or in complete reversal. First of all, she expected me to put the food down. And she pointed out numerous places in the doctor's opinion that indicated I needed to put the food down and that my mind needed to be cleared before I could work the steps. And I had previously been told that if I worked the steps, I would become abstinent, not that I needed to get abstinent in order to work the steps. So it was shocking to me. But I was desperate. I did everything she told me to do. And we were through the steps from step one, you know, to step 12 in about 3 months. And I had never experienced anything like it in my life. I felt like I was walking around with no skin on. I was excited. I was hopeful, but I was really raw. And yeah, so I guess what I want to say is that recovery can be really painful. For me, that was, those 3 months were not easy. The big book, I think, says, you know, sometimes we require a period of hospitalization. For me to come off the food was really, really quite grueling. And I do liken it to somebody who's addicted to drugs, or, you know, who is withdrawing from alcohol and goes through the DTs. I had pretty extreme cravings and physical withdrawal symptoms for several months. And the emotional went on and on. So when it came for me, you know, sort of to get to steps 10, 11, and 12, I really, 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 really had to work them. Earlier I said, you know, when I worked the steps out of, you know, the OA 12 and 12 and didn't find them very effective. I think that was because, well, they're essays on the steps. They are not the steps. And the big book was very clear, you know, continue to take personal inventory, you know, where are we afraid? Where are we resentful? So I would come home from work probably just about every single day and have to write out, you know, two or three little mini inventories, little 10 steps, and call my sponsor up. You know, I was afraid today. You know, I had to talk to my boss. I had to do this. It was a completely new way of life. Yes. And so my life changed. I continued. I returned to physical recovery. I lost the weight, and I, you know, did my best to sponsor. And I had a long period of recovery for about 8 years. And I have to tell you that I didn't think about food. I had like 8 years of, I would say, fairly easy abstinence, and I didn't think about food. And I didn't even know how much I thought about food until I had about 2 or 3 months of not thinking about it. And to me, that's the power of the program. And then in 2021, somebody very, very close to me, the dearest person on the planet to me, was diagnosed with an incurable cancer and went through a really horrible, horrible time physically. And I was their only caregiver. And I did not want to face reality. And I started to run. And I lost my abstinence in the fall of 2021. And I didn't get it back to the beginning of 2022, May 2022. And I think that there's so much in step one that makes it difficult for us. And I think for me, and then I notice with people I have sponsored, step one and step 10 seem to be really hard. And step one, like I can have an intellectual understanding, you know, that I am powerless over food and that my life is unmanageable. But the big book makes it very, very clear that I have to concede to my innermost self that I am powerless. And that means I have absolutely no power. I will never have any power. There are certain foods and food behaviors I cannot do. I have to be like Bill W. says, you know, where he wakes up and he realizes alcohol was his master. I have to get there with the food. I have to get there with life. And when this person became very ill, I did not want to concede powerlessness of any kind. I wanted to save the day. I wanted to be, you know, believe that I could make a difference. And I threw myself into trying to control things. And of course, that doesn't work. So that was very, very painful to me. And it also helped me understand that I had had a spiritual awakening the first time I went through the steps, according to the big book. But I did not have a spiritual awakening sufficient to deal with what life was dealing, the cards I was being dealt with at that point, and that I had to go deeper. And for me, that was a return again to step 10. Step 10 is so important. It's so important. When the person I loved became very ill, it was one of the first things I stopped doing, because as soon as I would sit down to write, you know, what I was afraid of or what I was angry about, I would start to cry. And I didn't want those emotions. I didn't want to feel anything. I just wanted to fix. And we can't, I can't, speaking for myself, I can't let those emotions go unaddressed. I have to take them to my higher power. And so for me to continue to do step 10 and to do it rigorously is a continuation of admitting I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I have to. This, as soon as I think I don't need to go to God, I don't need to work the steps over negative feelings or fear, is the moment that I feel that I have power over things. So for me, those things are really, really important. And so for me, I think that there's certain parts of the big book that really speak to me. And I know different times in my recovery, different parts have had more importance than others. And right now, it's the story, acceptance is the answer. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And I think I'm going to just, I think I put a little post-it note. I'll read what the fellow in this story says. He says, in the hospital, I hung on to the idea I'd had most of my life, that if I could just control the external environment, the internal environment would then become comfortable. And I realized that's what I was trying to do when the person I loved was so ill, that if I could control the external, I would feel okay. And to me, that's just like it says in How It Works, you know, it says, is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well. But the fact is, I can be happy. God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free.
Hey, Tracy, 5 minutes left.
Thank you. And it doesn't matter what's happening in the world or in my life. I have a choice on how I behave and what I think. I can go to God or I can go to the food. And I can, you know, be the only big book that people ever see. And I can be happy no matter what. And that, I think, is where I am really in my spiritual life right now. So as I said before, like, I did have a spiritual awakening, but it was not sufficient for the trials that came up in my life in 2021. And so I'm deeply into the spiritual practice now of getting up every morning and spending, you know, a good 20 minutes, half an hour on my yoga mat. And in some ways, I feel, even when I'm not having a good day for prayer and meditation, even when my mind is wandering, the discipline of not jumping off the mat early and getting into my own will is important, you know, because that's what I want to do. I want to get up and I want to start my day and I want to start my to-do list. But if I'm able to sit and say, okay, yeah, my mind's wandering, but I'm going to sit, you know, I'm not going to go rushing out today. That's, to me, an act of surrender. Another thing that has been really helpful to me is the practice of two-way prayer. And so I do, after I do my time on my yoga mat, I almost always do two-way prayer in the morning. And I think that that's the most amazing thing in terms of being in contact with my higher power. And it's totally unlike what I thought it would be, where I kind of thought, well, I'm just talking to myself. When I first started. However, I get the most surprising things that come out of two-way prayer, or things like I never would have expected. For example, being a caregiver, I was praying, God, what can I do today to be helpful to this person? You know, he's so sick, and I should I do this and should I do that? And my higher power just said, lay off him, leave him alone. And it's like, wow, that's not from me. That's from somewhere else. And I do find that really amazing. And so, as I said, it's been, you know, just over 19 years now that I've been in program. My highest weight was 270 pounds. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't found the big book and I hadn't found the message of recovery, you know, of absolute surrender. You know, like the big book says, the only solution is complete abstinence. I don't know where I would be, because I was starting to have real physical problems. You know, I can't imagine that. And I can't imagine where I would be emotionally. I was the creator of so much negativity in my own life and in the world. And if I had continued, you know, another 10 years or whatever of doing that, I don't know if I would have had any friends left. And I guess I'll just finish it off by saying, one of the most amazing things about programs, I haven't talked about step 12, but I am fundamentally a selfish person. It seems to be my default setting, and I'm self-seeking. But I have found that the fellowship, knowing people in this program, sponsoring people in this program, has really taught me how to love other people, and has been like the number one vehicle for getting me out of my own self, out of my own navel. And when we see how we are all the same in so many ways, that just removes the isolation. I'm no longer alone. I have so many people in program that care about me. And I really believe, for me, that's how God manifests himself in my life, is through the love we have for each other. And I don't know if that's the full time, but I think I'm done.